Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great Indoors. This is episode 5 of season 8, coming to you from MWC 2024 in Barcelona. Now, the mobile virtual network operator, MVNO for short, market in telecommunications has seen substantial growth and transformation in recent years, largely driven by evolving consumer demands, technological advancements, and regulatory changes. MVNOs basically purchase network capacity from traditional network operators to offer their own branded mobile services. And they can find unique opportunities to cater for niche markets and offer customized services that differentiate themselves from traditional carriers. So how can Amdocs and our partners help entrepreneurs create these unique value propositions? Welcome to The Great Indoors, a podcast where we look at the technological implications brought about by the next industrial revolution and how this can potentially help solve the biggest problems facing humanity. I'm your host, Matthew Roberts, and joining me as ever is my co-pilot and producer, Larissa Yee. So I think you should know by now, but we're back in Barcelona at MWC 24, and it's bigger and better than I've ever seen it. And the Amdocs booth and TGI recording area are just simply stunning. And what's more stunning are our guests during this season. Really incredible. And over the coming weeks, I think we have 5 weeks left from today, we'll continue to bring you actual conversations from the biggest telecom show on the planet. And every single one is incredible. So let's get into today's topics. Now, I mentioned there in my little opening the size of the mobile virtual network operator space in telecommunications globally. And as of the latest reports, the market is valued at approximately $66 billion and is projected to reach $90 billion by 2026. Incredible growth. Not only do they have incredible growth as far as their financials are concerned, but their subscriber base is growing ever more significantly, with estimates suggesting that MVNOs served over 250 million subscribers by the end of 2022. In fact, some of the fastest growing MVNOs or operators on the planet are MVNOs. This is driven in many reasons by regulatory support. Many regions have encouraged the growth of MVNOs to increase competition and reduce prices. The European Union has been supportive of MVNOs to foster competitive market environments. And in the United States, the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, has also taken steps to facilitate the entry and expansion of MVNOs. But where I think particularly it's very interesting from a marketing perspective is to build and find the consumer demand for specialized services. There's a growing segment of consumers seeking customized mobile services that cater their specific needs, whether it's cost-effective international calling, data-heavy plans for streaming junkies, services tailored to the needs of remote workers. And MVNOs excel in serving these niche markets by offering tailored plans and customer experiences not typically available from larger carriers. So we're going to focus today very much on what Amdocs and partners like AWS and the offerings and how we can help entrepreneurs bring their MVNOs to market. And we're also going to be talking about the future of monetization. So our guest today from AWS is Mr. Antonio Arpino. He's the head of operations Simplified. And Amdocs' very own Galit Dan, the head of SaaS business development. And from there, we're going to talk with Appledore's John Abrams and Amdocs' head of monetization experience, Mr. Tomer Gingold, on the future of billing in general. So we've got quite an episode. So buckle up. Let's get started. So it's MWC 2024. We're back. The Great Indoors. It's day two. It's busy. And I'm delighted to welcome two guests to this episode, although one of the guests will almost be co-hosting with me. So, Mr. Anton Arpino, Head of Operations Simplified at AWS, and Galit Dan from Amdocs. So, Galit, you head up our digital brands business unit, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so welcome both of you. And before we dive into things, Anton, let's start with you. Give us a bit of your history
and the role that you have currently at AWS?
Sure. Well, I'm an industry veteran in a way, which makes me feel sad because I'm an old guy. I've been working in the telco industry since 98, so more than 25 years. Most of my career has been in ESS and OSS systems, dealing with this stuff. And I joined AWS 4 years ago. And when I joined AWS, telco was kind of a known thing. And I was one of the lucky guys who had to start the telco business for AWS. Wow. And I, because of my background in BSS and SS, I naturally fitted into leading the go-to-market activities for these type of solutions. And that's what I'm still doing now, globally, essentially, for all telco operators out there. Because AWS, we don't really build software, these type of applications. It's essentially a big partnership play.
Okay, excellent. And Galit, for our listeners, give a little intro. I know you, of course, and everybody at Amdocs knows you, but for the greater world, maybe give a quick history of yourself and the role that you do with us here at Amdocs.
Yes, sure. So I am also a veteran in this telecommunication industry, like Anton, since 98. I am a technology lady. Started as a developer. Many years of experience in the industry, in the telecommunication industry, and the recent few years, very busy of generating the technology and the platform for the SaaS, what we call BSS in a box business. And, you know, our partner, AWS, are doing some great magic recently together with us. Very exciting.
Okay, excellent, excellent. So great to have you here. So we're going to talk about digital brands. And I'm going to ask you this question first, Galit. What is a digital brand?
Well, so first, it's about brands which are digital, which means the sub-brands or the B-brands of the MNOs, as well as the MVNOs and MVNEs. Actually, it's the wholesale business. Those who are looking to launch very quick and fast on board a new brand, digital brand, and being able to scale it up with a full alignment of their investment and their actual business growth. That's in a nutshell what this is all about.
Okay, that's great. And tell me, I'll ask Anton, I'll ask you this question, and then Galit, you answer also. But talk about the partnership that AWS and Amdocs have right now for building out new digital brands. What's all behind this?
Well, the partnership with Amdocs is not yesterday thing, right? So we started partnering 4 years ago, and this whole telco thing started in AWS. And Amdocs was essentially the first one we wanted to partner with because of the historical background, the success in the industry. So we actually wanted to learn from them how to do proper stuff for telco players. And this partnership has been evolving in the last 4 years in multiple directions. And the digital brands with is actually one of the latest born from this great partnership we've been having, capturing what is a trend now in the industry of doing things differently, right? And the digital transformation per se is not really a new topic, but has never been really delivered in full because of lack of technology or complexity in the organizations or business model which were not there. But now with SaaS becoming more and more prominent, it's actually removing some of those barriers. And we have found with Amdocs a perfect alignment in vision on how to build these things using modern technologies which are based on cloud-native implementation principles, which actually exactly fulfills the requirement for a digital brand, which is needs to scale fast, needs to be deployed in minutes, and needs to provide a full end-to-end digital experience. So all the interactions are actually happening through a non-human assistant type of channels, because that's what people is used to today, dealing with a digital native business like Airbnb or Uber, or Amazon itself, right? So we want to provide the same type of experience also in the telco sector.
Okay, excellent. And Galit, is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, so it's very clear, like on the transformation is about has to be on cloud, right? And when we say cloud, it's about native platform, cloud native to be developed. The digital brand, actually, we just recently named it ConnectX. The ConnectX platform is serverless platform. And we have this approach where, like, we split the entire paradigm into three. We want our customer to focus on sale and marketing and the business. We are focusing together with AWS on technology. So we need to make them free up from the need to have in place an infrastructure, right? Actually, in the SaaS business, they buy a service with a serverless cloud native, and it's an open API platform. The sky is the limit from technology perspective. So this setup that we have created with AWS is perfect match to free up our customers to be focused only on business and to leave us the technology entirely,
yeah,
from product through the infrastructure up to the operation. It's all encapsulated in this price per unit or price per sub. This is a perfect fit, especially for the MVNO and for the MVNE businesses who are really have their own segment and are very busy to create their voice and personalization to bring in those subscribers. And everything related to technology, they don't want to be on top of that, and they need to be able to move fast, right, Anto? Fast time to market and fast onboarding is the key, is an essential, and that's what it is.
No, I think that's... So, I'll paraphrase. You're going to take care of all the difficult technology stuff and let the entrepreneurs, marketeers, business people launch a brand, basically, right? So, and I know that this partnership is already... obviously, it's active for some time. Can you point to some examples of customers that we jointly have, Amdocs and AWS, in this domain?
When we want to talk about customer, I think the biggest example, and also has been one of the first lighthouse customers for both companies, has been T-Mobile in the United States.
Okay.
There we are running a large cloudification of their BSS stack together, really bringing the legacy to the new world of the cloud native implementation. And that's delivering a lot of benefits in terms of agility, TCO improvements, elasticity of the infrastructure, as well as freeing T-Mobile time to actually deliver and create new product and offering in line of what we're trying to do with DBS as well. That's one essential part of the cloud way of doing stuff, right? We know by a fact that normally companies or enterprise, they invest 80% of their time on running existing business, and they have only 20% of time to invest in innovations and create new product and try to capture new market. In the cloud, this proportion is actually flipped. So we want them to invest maximum 20% of time in running the business. 80% of time they should invest in creating and capturing the business. And that's the paradigm we are using actually in T-Mobile US, and we want to use in DBS and in many other implementations, right? But we have so many customers together. Vodafone Germany is another one. I mean, it's just a big number all over the place. Astro in Malaysia, it's like amazing things we're doing there. Globe in the Philippines. It's all over the place. And it's actually a way which keep growing and growing every year, because the customer, they see the value. They see that actually, yes, they can really put their effort in building new business and create innovation for their end customers. Yeah. And just let us do the
hard
heavy
work.
Lifting. And yeah. That's it. That's fine. And that's what we want, yeah, because we will be as much as successful as our customer will be.
Okay. Angeli, can you point to a digital brand that AWS and Amdocs have enabled, yeah, collectively?
We have actually multiple examples. I will choose two.
Yeah.
One is Greenfield and the other one is Brownfield. So we have in South Africa, the Melon Mobile,
yeah,
started as a Greenfield. Actually, we pretty much fast we're successfully integrating to the relevant network and going live. I think it was a record time, and you know, we have a very successful engagement there. Like the requests for the features and richness of the products keep coming.
Yeah.
And as I said, we want our customer to focus on business. We will focus on technology, and we trust everything related to infrastructure, the AWS. So we are leveraging almost like everything needed, any service that AWS can provide us, and that's what we are actually, the approach that we take. Mm-hmm. And it works very well because we are introducing in a very agile way, very frequently, almost daily base, new things and features. And the other example is more of a brownfield customer that we just recently engaged with in Spain, actually here in Spain.
Oh, wow.
The Fee Network, which is also a very cool engagement, which is over there. It's like a multiplay. It's about fiber and TV and mobile. And like, we are very excited about the richness of capabilities that we need to deliver to Fee. And again, these guys, they are very busy on their business, how to make money, while we are busy on technology and the engagement that we have with AWS. For them, it's seamless.
Like,
leave the technology to us, focus on business, tell us what you need, and we will continue to evolve and productize and make the features very rich per every need that you will come up with. It's really, really cool.
So let's put that to the test, right? This was going to be the fun part of the podcast, because when we first met last week, you got me thinking, Anton and Galit, and I started thinking about creating my own MVNO brand in Canada.
Really?
And I'm a marketeer, as you know. Mm. So I figured out the brand, I figured out the segmentation, I figured out my value proposition. I basically want to start an MVNO that goes after hockey fans in Canada.
Oh.
Now, it's a big market. Everybody loves hockey in Canada. But particularly, I want to go after the market of 16-year-old to 38. So a fairly young demographic. I've done a deal with the NHL as far as content and commercialization. And that's as far as I've gone. That's what I've done right now. So how can you help me?
Have you got your investors already?
Got the investors all lined up. It's all...
Oh, wow.
My wife's family are very generous. They're going to help me out.
Congratulations. Wow. Cool.
So where do we begin, and what are the steps to make this dream of mine a reality?
Okay. So while you're focused on identifying your target audience, this 16 young Kisavi, okay?
Yeah.
And brainstorming and thinking what exactly your offering should look like, we will engage and we will establish immediately your brand, a tenant for you. Like in a matter of minutes, you will have a very first version. We'll give it a name. Then we will start to generate with you a potential offering, an AI-based offering suggestion. Not necessarily the ones that you will launch, but we'll have a very, you know, not a white page start. And having that in your hand, you will be able to start trial and test it and then configure and see how the system works, how easy it is to configure your offering. We will also start to collect all the information related to the ecosystem integration to, you know, get ready.
Yeah.
For you to start, then we'll see what is your like tipping point where you want to launch. What is the event, the business event, and accordingly we will build together a plan. And together, you know, with a small team, I have to say, from your side definitely, from our side as well, this engagement will evolve on a daily and on a weekly basis. And all of a sudden, 2-3 months after, you might find yourself selling to this younger 16 teenage cool offering with your own specific personalized voice.
How does generative AI now play into this model that we're talking about, right? So again, I'm here at the show, I'm pitching my idea to people, I see generative AI everywhere. I see generative AI on the Amdocs booth. I see everybody talking about it. Where does that help me and how does that supercharge me even further?
So I mentioned the fact that when you're establishing a new tenant with us, immediately, you know, we have this AI wizard that introduces you some options. As I said, it's not necessarily the one that will work for you, but this is a start. You know, we have this notion of just do, just start,
yeah.
Then experiment, see if that works for you. And then doesn't, you know, make money, fine. So let's refine, let's see what works better. And all those things, read the recommendation with all the automation behind the scenes, it comes with this generative AI.
Yeah.
So generative AI is embedded seamlessly, but definitely help you to kickstart and actually ongoingly to introduce more options for you either to choose or to trial or even not to do anything with. But
yeah.
The whole idea is that it's an enabler for you, and you will help us to shape up your version of it.
Yeah, that's good to know. Is there anything you've seen so far that has been really significant for you? Anything really profound?
Well, I mean, Mobile World Congress is always a place you find a lot of innovation, and there are multiple items. Of course, this year is, I would say, not really 100%, but 99% all about Gen AI. And more or less everywhere you can see how people is experimenting this technology and how they find value out of it. The thing that actually amazed me the most is that you have immediate feelings of the potential of this.
Yeah.
You see an outcome basically in a few minutes, right? Simple things like having a more responsive chatbot is very easy to obtain. Or having, as Gilit was saying, how comes a world where I actually need to launch a new product and I can just ask the Gen AI to create a prototype for me with all the related marketing materials, communications, and pricing schemas and whatever, whatnot.
Yeah.
In the 30 second,
yeah,
you really understand the impact of this.
Yeah, yeah.
These are processes that normally takes 3-6 months, if not more.
Yeah.
You can do this in 30 seconds and in a proper SaaS environment, you can experiment this in another 30 seconds, and after 2 minutes, you're going to know if you're going to be a rich man or not.
Yeah.
And this is simply crazy.
Crazy, I mean, yeah. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And what about you, Gilit? What have you seen so far at the show?
So, you know, it will sound maybe to say the obvious, but yes, it's about this, everything is generative AI, has to be embedded in everything that's actually being done. Everybody are looking to make complexity, to make it simple, right? I think a key element this year is, you know, we have this notion of just do.
Yeah.
We really encourage, technology is these days is enabling a lot more comparing like even to last year. And then everything happening with AI, it's going to blow up. So I think just do.
Yeah. No, that's
just do.
Now, this is a question I'm going to throw in for my own sort of personal market analysis. And, you know, in every guest that we've had on this year so far, We talk about generative AI at the show, what it's going to do for telecommunications, what it's going to do for our customers, etc. But Anton, I'm going to ask this question. What does it do for you as an individual? Where do you use generative AI, whether it's ChatGPT? No, sorry, AWS, Bedrock, of course.
Same.
Yeah. Where in your everyday life do you use it now? Because the reason I'm asking this question is because every single answer I get is very, very different. And it's very interesting.
I will have to spoil myself a little bit, right? But one of the first thing I actually started doing by leveraging Gen AI, being in ChatGPT or whatever else, right? It's been actually doing the hard work for pulling in me notes and narratives.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not really a great writer myself, right? So
right.
I really wanted to leverage that and give it a try, and I have to say, it brings amazing results.
Yeah.
That saved me 50% of my time when trying to pull my notes and get some content out there. It's just crazy. I mean, like, saves me a lot of time. I can do much more things like that.
Excellent.
And that's one basic thing. I don't know how many people actually do that, but if you are not doing it, give it a try. You will be surprised.
Yeah. That sounds good. That sounds a good use case. Galit, where have you used it in your everyday life?
It's not that different, actually. We know that there is no replacement for the human touch, but to be inspired, like when you're searching for a specific text or notes or whatever, like even when sometimes we are a bit lazy, use it and then you can be inspired and then ideas would come. So it's really all over when it comes to text, when it comes to, information that you need.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's like your new friend.
Yeah.
You know, we see the results. We have also responses. I like it. I don't like it. Come on, get improved.
Yeah.
It's a new personality in our life, right?
Yeah.
So my approach is enjoy it.
Yeah.
Leveraging it and like make the best out of it because it's amazing progress. And yes, generative AI is here and now. And it has to be, you know, in Amdocs, we have all the know-how. Who is better than us to create the telecommunication version of it? So it's exciting days, really.
Indeed. Now, we're almost out of time, but we finish with our TGI to go quick fire round.
TGI to go.
I'm going to start with you, Galit. You're going to go for dinner tonight. Would you have tapas or would you have Chinese food?
Definitely tapas. Yep. Hello, we're here in Barcelona.
Anton, what about you?
Tapas.
Yeah. And the reason that question's in there is like, you know, by the end of the week, you'd have had a lot of tapas, right?
Absolutely.
I think so next question, you could go on vacation at the end of this show. After a successful show, would you go to Thailand or Ibiza? That one's for you, Anton. Sorry.
Well, despite I would be tempted to go to Thailand, I would go to Ibiza simply because it's closer.
And you don't have to do another flight, basically. A big, long flight.
Exactly. Yeah. You can take a boat and go there.
Galit?
I'm going to climb Kilimanjaro, my friend.
Oh, right. Wow. Well, tell us a little bit about that. And when's that happening?
Actually, next week.
Oh, really?
Beware of the lions.
So my mind is all over there. Don't ask me about Thailand or any other stuff.
No. Well, so that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
And you're going next week to climb Kilimanjaro?
Yeah, I am.
And have you completed a feat similar to this before?
See next week.
Yeah. Well, and you've been training. Are you ready to?
What do you think?
Well, I hope so.
Yes. I want to just say it's been a pleasure to know you now. You are alive. We'll always remember you.
Definitely.
Well, that sounds incredible. So best of luck with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anton, do you like football? I mean, you're Italian. Football or basketball?
You would be surprised. I like more basketball.
Ah, okay.
Definitely, yes.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
That's because I'm a short guy. I don't like to see all these tall people. No, honestly, my hometown, back in Italy, back in the days, basketball was kind of the prime sport for some weird reasons.
Yeah.
Maybe because we were not really good in soccer and so we used a different sport to to show off, right? And that comes from there.
Wow, excellent. Galit, same question.
Football.
Okay.
Why? I have a son who was a soccer player, so.
Oh, excellent.
My world was for a few years all over it, so.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. And is there a team that you admire or follow?
It's mainly my son's
really?
Admiration I'm following. So it was all here. Yeah, the Barcelona. At the UK, he has some.
Oh, excellent. Cool.
Don't remember even.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Listen, we're out of time. I really enjoyed our conversation. I think we learned a lot about the partnership between Amdocs and AWS, enabling my own digital brand and my own MVNO. Getting your insights on what you see here at the show and the impact of generative AI. So I'd like to thank both of you, Galit and Anton, for joining the show today. And I hope you have a fantastic week. And Galit, best of luck again with the climb up Kilimanjaro. It sounds incredible.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. So welcome back to The Great Indoors. We have an analyst now who's going to join us, Mr. John Abrahams. You're based in London, right, John?
That's right. Thanks, yeah. Matt. Great to be here.
Okay, awesome. And Toma from Amdocs.
Yes. Hi. Great to be here. John, thanks for joining us for this exciting podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm Toma Gingold. I'm part of the Amdocs product arm, product group, and I'm leading the business unit that handles all the exciting monetization product that we have to offer.
Wonderful.
Great. By the way, a quick introduction from my end. Yeah. I'm John Abraham. I'm a principal analyst with Appledore Research. We are a telco media technology focused research and consulting firm. And I lead the digital enablement research at Appledore, which is basically all the BSS related solutions and functions that are being deployed by telcos today.
Okay, great. So let's get started.
Okay. So John, you know, and we had many conversations about that over the years, but, you know, billing was relatively stagnant for quite a while, but we do see things changing now. What would you say are the main reasons? Why would anyone, you know, change or reconsider the way that they handle billing today?
Well, look, telco billing has always been one of the most complex systems deployed. It has also been a segment that has seen multiple waves of investment. You know, even before customer experience was a thing, telcos believed that billing was the most critical function that they had to invest in. I'm talking about front and back office function, not the network. So we have seen multiple waves of billing investments. And in the past, if you go back a decade or more, many operators, there was a lot of M&A going on, and many operators believe that when you buy a billing system, it has to fit into their process models, which meant that there was a lot of extensive customization on these systems. And given that they are mission critical and they remain in use today, it meant that over a period of time, the cost involved in supporting these machines went through the roof. So today, when operators look back, I think one key aspect of why there is a continued investment into these systems is to drive up efficiency. You know, they want to make these systems more simplified. They want to make them cheaper, simpler to run. And then you bring into the equation the other factors. You know, there's a lot of change going on. You know, 5G deployments are underway. We are talking about API monetization. We're talking about Gen AI. So there's a lot of change happening right now. And at the same time, through it all, we want to improve the customer experience. Over 50% of the traffic into the call center is because of a billing issue. So there's a lot of investment into try and simplify, improve efficiency, and improve the customer experience.
That's very interesting because, you know, over the past couple of days, we had a chance to meet a lot of customers here in MWC, which was very exciting. And one of the things that indeed we saw that each of the customers, a lot of the service providers keeps expanding their offering. So,
right.
You know, if you compare to what, you know, used to be 10 years ago, you know, when a cable provider was just providing cable services and wireless was just wireless, now everyone are doing everything and keep expanding, and not just to their offering.
Yeah.
You know, you see cable providers launching MVNOs, you see everyone, you know, providing TV services and so forth. And then those all the over-the-top services that they start bundling. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, they realize that it's not only what they can provide. They need to be much more open and open to the ecosystem.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, I believe, realize that the traditional billing systems that they had, which were built for purpose and were very stiff and siloed, can no longer sustain.
Correct.
And adding to that, what you mentioned about the experience and seeing that, you know, we're spoiled by the Netflix of the world and Apple and everyone that, and our customers are expecting a much better experience.
Absolutely.
Much faster, much more immediate, much more transparent. So in order to do that, and cater for all the expanding offering, they can no longer have those types of traditional billing and they need something else.
Yes. Just to add to that, Toma, it is not just about bringing on board all those partners, which, as you said, is a very important thing, but also to do it quickly, right? The time you take to respond is actually a big factor in all of this. You know, if it takes 6 months for you to launch a new product offer, you probably have lost the benefit of launching that in the first place. There's a lot of competition, and it's not just the traditional telcos that you're going up against as an operator. You are also now battling it out in many domains with OTTs. You know, in some ways you're cooperating with them, in some things you are competing with them. So it becomes all the more vital that you have a system to launch offers, you know, to actually go and experiment. You know, we often use the word fail fast, but to fail fast without burning your pockets, right? To actually have the freedom to try new things and not actually have a huge bill to pay if that doesn't take off.
What are the customers' expectations now, mm-hmm. as we move through the demographics of their billing?
Yeah. Well, look, Toma made a good point. The fact that the OTTs have penetrated so much, they have changed customer preferences, right? By default, I mean, we don't think that in this case, Netflix or an Amazon doesn't have a call center number, right? Mm-hmm. We know how to get support without actually having to go and call, dial a number. Mm-hmm. So that's precisely the kind of experience and preference shifts that we are actually seeing now. So billing has been in the past a bottleneck. It has been a visible problem for telcos. Whereas if you look at OTTs, it is an invisible function that just does its job. And I think that's where we need to go to, where it doesn't become a friction point, but it just stays underneath. It doesn't cause you to have a headache. You know. So I think that's a fundamental expectation.
Yes, definitely. And I think I would add to that the flexibility. And I think the flexibility or freedom, I think me as a consumer, customer, and definitely as a business, I want to be able to have the freedom and the flexibility to choose all the different monetization models that I want, payment options. It's no longer, you know, a bill at the end of the month.
Yeah.
I want a variety of things. I want to pay immediately. I want to use subscription. I want to change a lot of different things. And I want that flexibility and freedom. So for the service provider to be able to cater for that, they need a much more robust system.
Yes.
Another thing, by the way, which is very interesting, is what are the things that they monetize?
Right.
Because, you know, many of the service providers over the past few years invested heavily in rolling out 5G networks and many new infrastructure.
Yes.
And they need to monetize it. The way that they used to monetize it, counting minutes, counting data, is not good enough. Mm-hmm. They need to innovate. Yeah. And they're looking for other currencies or other things to monetize. And this is where API monetization comes along, quality of service, slicing, you know, as part of 5G. So there are more and more assets for them or ways for them to innovate and monetize the network. So I think that combination creates, I think, a fascinating era for monetization.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. I think one of the paradigm shifts that 5G brought to the table, especially as far as monetization is concerned, is that telcos until then always had a clear idea what they wanted to monetize. So every time they had a new technology deployment, they knew who the target market is, they knew what the use cases are going to be, and they knew how they would monetize it. It was a very well-defined, very well-parameterized monetization model. 5G opens up the door to infinite possibilities, but it also causes problems. Now, you don't know what you're going to monetize. So when you try and define a system that can monetize anything, how do you write the spec sheet? And that's where there has been a shift in how both operators look at and assess solutions and how vendors also bring their solutions to market. So it's become a far more, I would say, not a use case centered approach, but an agility, a software agility centered approach to new monetization models.
You know, one of the things that probably we're not the only one. Everyone, and you know, looking around in MWC, it's all around Gen AI.
Yeah.
Now, Gen AI has a huge impact on monetization as well.
Yes.
You know, we're debating and looking into different areas. What's your thought around the impact of Gen AI on the monetization?
I think it's going to be quite significant. I mentioned earlier how the traffic in the call center, a good chunk of that is actually because of issues with billing, right? So what I see across the floor today is that there's a lot of activity in Gen AI, no surprise, but much of it is actually focused on trying to improve the efficiency at the back office, which is by, you know, either improving how agents support call center traffic, or maybe try and deflect those calls in the first place by giving customer an insight, like a summary of why their bill is so much. You know, bill shock often is a key factor why calls come into the call center. So there's a lot of emphasis going on in trying to make that more efficient. At the same time, there is also, I've seen some use cases, including here, about how to improve the efficiency of the people who are responsible for that process. You know, giving them more tools, give them more guidance, more recommendations on what they should be doing to, you know, improve the efficiency of the processes they're responsible for. So I think this is still evolving, but it's going to be fast. You know, a year from now, we're actually going to be talking about the next phase. We won't be talking about, oh, this has become mature. This will already be widely deployed. This is what my expectation is.
So we've seen a lot of customers looking into this area, and we're already, you know, working with some of them on different use cases. And I think what's interesting is that it's not just about identifying the use cases, which are almost endless. And you mentioned all the different service providers, call center and network planning and operation, a lot of different areas where the efficiency, making it more effective, more efficient, more proactive is definitely going to be helpful. And on top of that, helping using Gen AI or harnessing Gen AI to elevate the experience of the end customer, and maybe moving more and more capabilities to self-service type of a thing. But I think the key is, how do you make it, in order for that to work and in order for that to make an impact, you need all your Gen AI's engine to be relevant, to give you the relevant answers in that context. So you need to train them, and they need to understand billing, they need to understand service provider, they need to understand telecom. And I think this is the key.
Absolutely. I think it's absolutely important. Telco context is going to be the secret sauce that differentiates true experience and, you know, the mediocre ones. For good or for bad, telco data is not publicly available, which means the LLM models could not trawl through them so far. And that also means that vendors and operators actually have a huge responsibility in trying to train up these models so that they have the relevant context. I mean, if I were to go and type in, you know, what's a good plan for me, that could be taken for anything, right? But in the context of what I am typing, it means something, you know, to a telco that means something, you know. But he also needs to know what my past is, what my usage is, and how do you train the model to look at that. And it has to be done in the span of a few seconds. So there's a fair bit of work to be done, but I do think that the LLM story that we are seeing today being talked about, much of it is outside of telco, but there's a lot of value to be added within telco. And I think some of us will be really surprised by how much of an improvement in experience we are going to see through Gen AI and other LLM models.
Excellent. Indeed, you know, truly exciting period. Definitely we're going to meet next year on MWC, look back and see how, you know, how fast this thing was rolling out and making a difference. So, John, thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time and having this discussion. Enjoy the rest of MWC.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Toma.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot, John.
Toma, I'll just add on the record, I think you can be the next host of the Great Indoors. You did a fantastic job. And I just had a nice little break. So thank you very much. And I was listening in. Fascinating stuff. So
thank
really
you.
Good
thank you,
thank you
man.
Very much.
I appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thanks.
What another fantastic episode. Thank you to all my guests, Antonio, Galit, John, Toma, for taking the time during the incredibly busy show to record with us. Really enjoyed our conversations. And also, congratulations to Galit. She made it to the top of Kilimanjaro. So please subscribe to our podcast on all the usual podcast channels. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts and enjoyed the show, please rate and review. Also visit our website, amdocs.com/thegreatindoors. And we'll be back next week for more great conversations. And until then, I'm Matthew Roberts for Amdocs, still in Barcelona. Have a great day wherever you are.